If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
Dean, we're having a debate here today with the listeners.
Uh-oh.
Is it hot enough that your dad would let you play with the car air conditioning, or is it still not hot enough for that?
Do you mean to turn it on?
Yes. To even get it going.
Yeah. Funny how I knew that. No, I think he would roll all the windows down.
Someone on the text line called it, we had 460 air conditioning. That's opening all four windows and going 60.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what, you know, that's what my dad would have done.
Yeah.
Why waste good money when you can just, you know, simply open the windows of the car?
Yeah. As a new dad, I got the handbook in the hospital about all these tips when I brought my son home. And now I've got four box fans running from the basement up to upstairs just to save a couple bucks on that thermostat there, Dean.
Well, you know, I'm not made of money.
No, absolutely not.
I'm not. That's not exactly what my dad would say. He would have a different function for funneling money. But let's just say I'm not made of money was one of his favorite.
872 says, back in 1960, my dad bought a brand new Chrysler New Yorker with factory air conditioning.
Fancy.
It was an exception to have an air conditioning. Also, we had power window buttons, and I would get yelled at from the front seat if I rolled the window down the rare times we had the air conditioner on.
That's right. You don't want to waste that cold air.
No, boy. No, absolutely.
Isn't that so funny?
Right, especially when probably both parents had a cigarette lit up in the front seat, too. Don't roll down those windows. We got that cold air back here.
Yeah, I would I would get into that argument with my mom once in a while. When I would turn on the air, and she's like, why are you turning the air on? You know, we can just roll the windows down. I said, we're not poor anymore. So the extra 30 cents it's going to cost to air condition the car where we can actually be comfortable, you know, it may be worth the price.
Yeah.
But, you know, depression kids.
That's what I'm saying.
There was no telling depression kids about any of that stuff.
That's, you know, Dean, I was wondering kind of where that comes from. It absolutely has to be there. That generation fought in a war. Like, I mean, you weren't going to tell them that I'm turning on the air conditioning.
That's right.
I mean, my grandpa, God rest his soul, would, you know, he fought in Japan in the heat of the summer. He's not turning on the air conditioner.
Not turning no air conditioner on. We don't need no air conditioner.
Exactly. Okay. Hey, well, this is no good pivot to Pixar, but I had never heard of this movie, and apparently no one else did either, huh?
Well,
Except you.
It was pretty well publicized and really well reviewed. I'm actually shocked that this new Disney Pixar movie, Elio, was the worst performing opening weekend ever for a Pixar movie. It only made about $20 million, which sounds like it's okay, I guess. But the number one movie of the weekend, How to Train Your Dragon, made about $39 million. So, but it's a big deal that this Pixar movie, despite universally really good reviews, despite all kinds of publicity, just did not perform very well. So it's on its way to Bombsville, USA, it looks like. But in the meantime, we had the Dragon movie, which is also great, number one. 28 weeks later, horror movie was the second choice of people going to the movies this weekend. Then it was Elio. After that, Lilo and Stitch hanging in there, and even Mission Impossible, the Final Destination, still hanging in there to round out the top five movies of the weekend.
I feel like so many kids' movies these days are based on toys or intellectual property that's already like ingrained in their everyday lives. I don't know what Elio really is. Is that a part of a brand of any kind, it just traditional storytelling?
No, not really. It's kind of a whimsical, lovely story about this nerdy kid who is space obsessed. He has a little transistor radio that he has souped up and accidentally sends a message to another planet who picks up his message, they believe that he is the sole representative for all human beings on the planet Earth, and they beam him up to their planet, you know, to get to know humans, you know, from their, quote, leader, this little kid named Elio. And he, you know, when he is on this other planet, he meets a similarly nerdy creature from this other planet who also, you know, doesn't really have any friends. And, you know, they kind of befriend each other. It's a story about friendship and loyalty. And, you know, it's just got nice messages all the way around it. But no, people went for horror movies and dragon fighting.
Who needs that these days?
Which are also very good movies, by the way. Yeah. It's a very unusual time that we happen to have quite a few really good movies that are in theaters right now.
Cute? We don't need cute.
Ah.
Who needs cute?
Loyalty, schmoyalty.
Dean Richards, hang on the line. We're going to do more on an entertainment report sponsored by JeffPfizerHouse.com.
Thursday, skydiving with Tom Skilling.
Maybe I should be scared to death. I'm not.
Be there as he takes the plunge. Thursday on WGN TV News at 9.
Dean Richards, you know, they keep on playing the Tom Skilling jumping out of the airplane promo.
Yes.
They're not mentioning, Dean, that you're going to be the one pushing him out of the plane. Why have they left you out of the promo?
I don't know. It's just, you know, just one more thing where, you know, if Skilling is involved, everybody else gets pushed to the back of the bus. I think it's kind of cool that he's doing stuff like this.
Tom freaking Skilling.
He's retired. He doesn't have the day-to-day grind anymore.
Right.
He kind of moves at his own pace. Half the time he's at his place in Hawaii. You see him, you know, snorkeling and all that. I've sent him many a note saying, Tom, please put a shirt on. but now he's doing the sky. He's back in Chicago and doing the skydiving. And, you know, good for him.
Is he going to do the weather report from 10,000, 9,000, 8,000 all the way down?
He may as well go into the atmosphere from which he's been reporting.
Yeah, right?
All of these years. He's you know, finally taken to the clouds where he is. So I'm happy for him. I would never do it.
Never. Never in a million.
I remember the wise words of the great Bob Collins, who once said, why would you jump out of a perfectly good airplane?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm with him on
that. Yeah. When I did TV morning show stuff, I would do wild things, but I told them from the get-go, the skydiving or the bungee jumping were the only two things off-limit for the most part.
Yeah, because, you know, when the air show, the Blue Angels or whatever, they always offer, you know, what reporter would like to come into, well, to turn you upside down and make you throw up. Oh, that sounds hilarious. That sounds great.
By the way, we got a text from the 815. My dad had a 1978 Buick Electra 225. We drove it through Texas in August with all the windows down because he said it got better gas mileage. And the car had a 454 engine. I looked that up. The gas mileage of a big block engine, 7 miles a gallon, Dean.
Yeah.
Well, how dare you?
You weren't saving much.
Exactly. Okay.
Those were gigantic, though.
Huge.
Those cars, I remember. I mean, it was like being on the Wendella.
How big were the gas tanks on those things to be able to?
I don't remember. It was like, was it a 20-gallon tank?
I don't know. It had to be. Otherwise, you're stopping the whole time.
Yeah, I never had one, so I couldn't tell you from experience.
Yeah. If it seems like I'm putting off talking about Diddy's trial, maybe it is because I don't know. Seventh week, Dean, this thing's rolling on.
I understand exactly what you mean. It should end this week. That's the up note of this
morally whole, this or whole actually.
Thing. Actually, okay. It should end this week. They're saying that the seventh week begins today. Prosecution is going to begin wrapping up its case. They say the defense could be done with its side of the story by Wednesday. Closing arguments Thursday. So, you know, who knows, the whole thing will be over sooner than later, let's hope.
Okay. Good news for Cher's son. Acting erratically, these mental health scares, of course, are serious. I'm glad we're taking it more serious these days.
Yeah, Elijah Blue Allman, the son of Cher and the late country rocker Greg Allman, was rushed to a hospital last week. With being treated for a drug overdose. He was released over the weekend on Saturday. said to be doing okay. Cher is saying that her number one priority is getting him all the help that he needs. There still is an investigation going on as to exactly what happened, but at least he's out of the woods health-wise right now. He's going through a lot of stuff. He's going through an ugly divorce. You know, his life is not easy for him, which, you know, doesn't make it right to overdose on drugs, of course. But there's a very complicated, you know, life pattern for this kid. You know, imagine having mom and Greg Allman as your parents.
Yeah.
You're starting off with a few checks against you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we wish him well, of course. Sad news, Lynn Hamilton, who I think a lot of people will immediately recognize from Sanford and Son, which is fine and well, but she was an accomplished stage actress too, Dean. I know you know that.
Very much.
I think a Chicagoan too, if I'm not mistaken.
She was.
Passed away, right?
Yeah, she sure was. She was, just a frame of reference, if you watch the TV show Sanford and Son, she played the ever-suffering girlfriend slash fiance of Fred Sanford, Red Fox, on the show Donna, the nurse Donna. She was a regular on the later episodes, of course. But she also had recurring roles on The Waltons, on Roots, The Next Generation, on The Practice. She was in tons of movies, including Lady Sings the Blues. She was even on one episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, which I don't recall seeing, but I'm going to look for it. She was always a favorite. She called Chicago home since she was a little kid. She wasn't born here, but her family moved here when she was very young and lived here for a long time, went to the Goodman School of Drama, and she died over the weekend at her home here in Chicago as well. Lynn Hamilton was 95 years old.
Wow, what a life led.
Yeah.
Before we go, it's the 20th anniversary, apparently, of Roger Ebert's Hollywood Walk of Fame star. And I went to University of Illinois, which, of course, is where Roger went and lived in Urbana. In fact, I often spent a lot of time in a house that was right next door to Roger Ebert's boyhood home, which has a little plaque outside.
Oh, how cool is that? Yeah. Yeah. And now they have a statue of Roger outside of, is it the Virginia Theater?
Yeah, it's the Virginia down there, where they do Ebert Fest,
where they always have done the Roger Ebert Film Fest down there. 20 years ago today, Roger was given that star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. He spoke so eloquently, as he always did, but I was really moved by one of his quotes that day, where he said that great movies enlarge us, they civilize us, and they make us more decent people. So I've always carried that with him. I just, you know, he's the quintessential movie critic, as far as I'm concerned. We all learned how to do our jobs. Those of us that do this, we all learned by watching Roger Ebert. And I miss him. He's a great guy.
Well said, Dean. And I know a lot of people know him, obviously, from the show. I hope people go back and sometimes, if I ever Google a movie and read an old Roger review, his writing was just insane, the way he'd be able to do it.
Pulitzer Prize winner.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. First as a movie critic, as you know, Dean, of course.
All
right, Dean, I appreciate your time today, as always. Take care. We'll talk tomorrow.
See you.